This blended family is God's forever family in Christ. My introduction today, I start with saying, I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. If you know the name John Newton from history, what you may not know is that he was a racist at one point, by his own admission. I know that is a very charged word in our present culture today, and it has been for many years. John Newton was driven by this sin so much that he became a captain of a ship that sold West Africans in a human slave trade over two centuries ago. During this time, Newton was reading a very famous book called The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. He was convicted. Long story short, Thomas Newton gave his life to Christ. Totally transformed, he became a clergyman in the church and wanted to contribute to the family of God by writing songs for the church. He wrote over 300 hymns alone. The hymn that most associate with his name is known worldwide even to this very day, right? What is that? Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. From what little I know about God's transforming grace, I don't believe that John Newton just threw the word wretch in as a filler. He must have believed it to be true. I wonder if his thought process was, I was a wretch, a racist, prejudiced wretch. But God, remember that from last week? But God saved me. On his deathbed, John Newton said, my memory is almost gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior. At the end of the day, church, that's all we need to remember, that we are great sinners and Christ is a great Savior. If you believe these two things, it's a winning combination. Never forget that. Now we know that being prejudiced is part of fallen humanity. Maybe at one time or another, every single one of us have engaged in it. Maybe we said certain things that we wish we didn't, or laughed along with someone that used a derogatory term and did not correct them. Everywhere throughout the world, this heinous act has taken place. Let's take a history tour in our mind. We can go to Northern Ireland and think about what happened between the Catholics and the Protestants. We could go to South Africa and look at the apartheid. And we can't leave out the Civil War here in America, right? We also see this sin in other places of Scripture. There's been an ongoing feud between the two sons of Abraham for years, Ishmael and Isaac, the promised son. Countless lives destroyed. The Jews even had a hatred toward the Samaritans, who were partly Jewish. That's quite interesting. Today, what we need to understand is that in the first century, which Paul wrote this letter and many others, the same thing was happening. It was a world torn by cultural, national, and racial instability. I got two fill-ins that's coming up here that should be popping up. Here at FBF, Faith Bible Fellowship, we know that racism is not a skin problem, but a sin problem. Racism is not a skin problem, but a sin problem. The Romans, Greeks, and Jews looked down on anybody that was not a part of their heritage. Next fill in. What is the answer to all of this? The gospel. Jesus, hallelujah. I say this because in the midst of all that animosity, guess what happened? The church was born. The church was born. In the church, there were Jews, Greeks, male and female, bond and free, and. In fact, when Jesus came, he did not say, let's celebrate the different cultures. No, he came and eliminated the boundaries that separate us. Jesus came to make a new people. He said, I will build my church. This is a whole new identity that they have, a whole new family. And the world shall know us, church, by our love. This should be the number one identifying mark of a Christian. L-O-V-E, love. And so here we are, FBF. We came from different backgrounds, cultures, and vastly different ideologies. In fact, the truth is, we could not get some of us together in the same room were it not for Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard there's lots of different kinds of nuts in the Lord's fruitcake? So, from one nut to another nut, welcome to God's fruitcake. Welcome. Praise the Lord. There's even a theme song dedicated to God's redeeming plan. Let's look at Revelation 5:9 real quick. Revelation 5:9. I'm still in the intro, kind of long there, right? Revelation 5, 9. Just like our brother Stephen Cozy today said, they were singing a new song, right? Here we can see, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Praise God. The future is bright for all who are redeemed, right? For some, the challenge is to live in light of this very truth right now. More than 60 years ago, Martin Luther King Jr. described 11 o'clock on Sunday morning as one of the most segregated hours in Christian America. Is this still true today? We are in the second half of Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22, and this is where Paul introduces to us the mayhem between two groups of people and how they became the blended family. Paul is also reminding the recipients in this letter, the Gentiles, what Jesus did for them, right? And also what they have become, the family of God. I would like to share with you this morning three great changes in a Gentile Christian's life, and then hopefully place a cherry on top. We were out, now we're in. We were separated, now we're integrated. We were foreigners, but now we're family. And the cherry on top would be, this blended family is God's forever family. God's forever family. We will notice how Paul reiterates some things from verses 1 through 10 last week when I preached, but in a few different ways. He continued to build this theme and unpacks it for us today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We lift you up. We thank you for your presence here this morning. It has truly been ushered in. We sense your presence, although it's not about feeling, Lord. We do trust that you are here with us this morning. We ask, Father, that you would speak your word through me. I will hide myself today behind your cross. Lord, do as you please. Help us to understand, for those who are Gentile Christians, that we were out, now we're in. That we were separated, and now we have been integrated. That we were foreigners, but now we're family and part of your forever family. And Lord, I pray right now for those who have not been integrated into your family, that you would touch them today. Draw them to yourself, for salvation is of the Lord. We thank you and we praise you and we honor you even now, Father. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's look at Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22, and we'll read through that there. Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. It says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In him the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Wow. Point number one, we were out, but now we're in. And we just looked at the entirety of the rest of this chapter, but I'll be coming out of 11 through 13 here. And let me share with you this. This is our past life. our BC experience before Christ, which I shared last week. I believe that I am looking at a group of Gentiles, myself included. Primarily, the people at Ephesus were also, and the Jewish word goy was used in the Torah for both the Israelites and the non-Israelite nations. I got a fill-in coming up here for you. The first recorded usage of the plural form goyim occurs in Genesis 10:5. It applies to non-Israelite nations. So the Jews divided the world into two groups, the uncircumcision and the circumcision. Jews and all other nations, goyim. Now, according to Paul, the apostle, being Jewish, brought with it many advantages. He lists them in Romans chapter 9. And let's go look at Romans chapter 9, verses 4 through 5. Romans. And let's go look at these advantages. Verse 4 and 5, Romans 9, 4 and 5. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all. Blessed forever. Amen. So they had the scriptures, the covenants, the temple service, worship. This was the way to approach God. They got all that. And on top of all of that, they were given the Messiah. They were given the Messiah, right? God over all and praised forever. So from a natural viewpoint, they had it all. We Gentiles, on the other hand, we had a big, fat zero. Zero, right? That's what we had. Paul describes us beforehand as we were out. It was all bad for us Gentiles. All bad. Let's look at verse 12 again. It says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We needed a but God moment. A but God moment. If you don't understand what I'm saying, go back and listen to the message last week. A but God moment. Unfortunately, the Jews did not use their position to attract the Gentiles into God's kingdom. This was a good work that God planned for them long ago. Rather, they used their exalted position to look down at people who were not like them. Paul, being a Jewish rabbi, would have understood this cream of the crop mentality. Is noted in verse 11 how he said the circumcision. The circumcision, you know who that refers to? Jewish people. Yeah, absolutely. Jewish people. The term uncircumcision was used for everyone else and also used in a derogatory way. Remember, David called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine, right? And they were outsiders. And this was a point of pride for the Jews. Verse 12 clearly tells our problem. It clearly tells our plight. Having no hope and without God in the world. This is as low as you can go. And this is largely being displayed in our culture today. Because it's the age of suicide. Before we knew about COVID-19, there was a Washington Post article, September 2019, months before it even hit our airwaves. The article said that Americans are facing a rising tide of despair. The emphasis of this article was hopelessness. A year later, the LA Times put this out. Signs of depression has tripled in the U.S. since COVID-19. Having no hope and without God in the world. That is the description of a vast number of our people in our world today. Think about it. Many people are not content with their life. And it may be due to the fact we have bought into the consumer mentality. Isn't that right, Elder Jeff? And this is that type of life where life revolves around wrong. We know that it don't, but that's what they think. Life revolves around me, mine, right? When they figure it out, they have been deceived. It actually leads to despair. Having no hope and without God in the world. We were out. Let's turn our eyes and attention to read verse 13 here. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now, these two words are full of hope. These two words, but now. This was John Newton's experience and song. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But now, full of hope. Have you ever not been picked to play on a team? Received a rejection letter from college? Not chosen to work at a certain workplace? And how did it make you feel? Now, how did it feel when you were chosen by the team? A college, a workplace. Next fill in here. Exclusion never feels good. Inclusion always feels good. Paul says, you were an outsider, but now you are an insider because you are now in Christ. Today, I'm here to tell the Christian, no matter what you are going through, and even if the world keeps telling you that you are rejected, right? Because the world will tell you that. You are accepted by God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, and this is just here in your bulletin, I believe I put all that in here. If you are in Christ, you can say or sing this, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, right? I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose. Thank you. Hallelujah. And that's what? Amazing love. Amazing love. Is Jesus your King? Do you believe this truth? Next fill in there. God's plan of salvation is the absolute greatest plan ever. Amen. Ever. Be brought near to God by the blood of Christ because we were out, now we're in. Point two. Thank you, Jesus. We were separated, but now we're integrated. Did you know that Judaism was all about separation? It really was. Non-inclusion. Around the temple, there was walls, courtyards, and also some rooms. There was a lane for everyone to be in, right? I'll try to paint you a visual with my words. I'm going to use this platform, per se. All right, let's look at this whole platform where the temple stood. There was a court that wrapped around the structure called the Court of Priests. Guess who was the only ones that was allowed to enter that court? And not just priests, Jewish priests, right? Right, Jewish priests. Around the court of priests was called the Court of Israel, and only Jewish men could be in that court. Encompassing that court, but still on the same platform, the same level platform, was the Court of Women. Only Jewish women could actually be there. Then you would descend down several steps, right? Further than this here, but just imagine with me, to a low level. There was a wall at that level, which was about 4.5 feet tall. This wall wrapped around the whole outer courtyard, and it was known as the Court of Gentiles. Are you getting a perception of how far the Gentiles were away from the action? Very far. The Court of the Gentiles was so far away from the temple activities that it was like sitting in a nosebleed section at a stadium. You can get in, right? But you better bring your binoculars, right? It was sort of like that. On that 4.5-foot wall, there was signs basically like keep out or beware of dogs. But although this sign was more like beware of death sign. By the way, two of these signs have been discovered, one in Istanbul, Turkey, and a partial sign in a museum in Jerusalem. So this is real. It's known as the death inscription. Now imagine you as a Gentile want to go worship the Lord you love, right? And then you come up upon this particular sign that reads like this. No foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. How was that for a welcome to church greeting? Wow. That's pretty bad, right? Paul experienced the same hostility because of his association with the Gentile in Acts 21, 27 through 36, which you could take the time to go and really read that up later, but I'll give you a little cap on this. When he was in Jerusalem, the Orthodox Jews saw Paul talking to and hanging out with in the city with a guy named Trophimus. Trophimus was an Ephesian Gentile. So they figured Paul must be bringing Gentiles into the temple. They said Paul has brought Greeks into this temple and defiled this holy place. And therefore, the Jews did what? They sought to kill him. Just because he was hanging out and talking to a Gentile. So Paul knew all about enmity and separation. The meaning of the word Pharisee is separated. One who is separated for a life of purity. The Pharisees were not only separated from common Jews, but any Jew, no matter the status, were separated from all Jews when they were found with a Gentile. So for Paul, this was like double jeopardy. Double jeopardy, right? Next fill-in coming up. I'm here. Paul's driving point in verse 14 is that Christ has changed the Gentile status in two ways. Now they have peace with God, and now Jew and Gentile are family. Wow. This one event put racism to death. God took two groups that were hostile towards each other and made them into one blended family. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Next fill in. Our Prince of Peace has removed the dividing wall. Reconciliation has come through one body and one object. The one body is Jesus Christ. The one object is the cross. Now there are no longer Jew or Gentile, black or white, rich or poor, only saved people. Only saved people. Let's look at verse 15. Verse 15, and it reads, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. The word new man in Greek, kainos, meaning new in kind, in contrast to what previously existed, taking the place thereof. Awesome. Let's go look at John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. Let us look at something here. John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. This is so good. Praise the Lord. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep. Huh? Who is that? Gentiles, right? That are not of this fold. I must bring, I love that. He said, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be what? One flock, one shepherd. Oh, this is so good. It's good to me. This is absolutely good. Thank you, Lord. Salvation and peace for all nations was God's plan. All alone. Jesus tells his disciples to go into the highways and byways and invite everyone you find to the wedding feast. Everyone. Hallelujah. Next fill in. In our sin, we divide. In our sin, we divide. But Jesus saves and unifies. Hallelujah. And in order to be saved, you must put your faith in God and your trust in Jesus. What a difference there would be when all believers look at all who are lost as potential sheep, right? No matter the tribe, tongue, or nation. Doesn't matter. Furthermore, in verses 17 and 18, and let's just read that over again. And he came in Ephesians 2. Sorry about that. Ephesians 2. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So there's no special proximity any longer, near or far, right? There is no separation with courts and walls and rooms any longer. All in Christ has access to God in one spirit. So we were out. Now we're in. We were separated, right? But now we're integrated. Now let me give you a third and final change here, and then place this cherry on top. Right. Point number three. All right. Point number three. We were foreigners. Now we are family. Let's read verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. If you are in Christ, you are no longer an outsider. You have a new family. You belong here. God is building his forever family with you in mind. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." That's good stuff. Call me brother, huh? If you are in Christ, you are set apart, declared holy, and this is why Jesus is not ashamed to call you family. To help you understand just how profound this whole idea of being out, then in, being separated and integrated, once a foreigner, now in the family, let me take you back about almost 3.5 millennia to the time when the children of Israel first built that tabernacle in the desert. How do you think the Gentiles felt by not being able to worship freely side by side with the Israelites? How do you think they felt? It may feel just the same to a person that comes to any congregation that has a majority cultural group and not being welcomed because they were not born the same descent. I thank the Lord that this is not the case right here at Faith Bible Fellowship. I thank the Lord that this is not the case here at Faith Bible Fellowship. We gotta give God praise and glory to that very thing because God is having his way right here. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Here we understand the significance of Jesus dying on the cross and the temple veil being ripped in two from top to bottom. See, we understand that here. Next, fill in. This was God's way of saying, come all. Come all. When that temple veil was torn, come all. To the Jew who was near, but not as near as they thought. And also to the Gentiles who was far from God. Come all. Jews and Gentiles, we all are in desperate need of salvation. No more separation. You who are out, you can come in today. You can come in. You don't have to be a foreigner any longer. Today, you can be integrated into the family of God. All in Christ are saints that have complete access to God, not just as worshipers from a distance, but close, like family. Family. Separation is gone. The church should always remember this. Our doors and arms should always be open to all who are seeking to come to know more about God. Why is that? Because to know him is eternal life. To know him, that's word. To know him is eternal life. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Regardless of race, age, culture, regardless if your hair is short, long, or bald, got a couple of them in here. Regardless if someone has tattoos or wrinkles, regardless if someone is physically handicapped or on the spectrum, there is room at the foot of the cross for you. And you don't have to wait to the end of this service to get right with God. You can take care of business right now and just be like Nike and just do it. Just do it. Get right right now. Next fill in. All those divisions do not matter because there is no division in Christ. Amen. Amen. I thought I would get more. No, I would. I don't even care about that. You can tell God that I'm a sinner and I want Jesus to give me a new heart to serve him only. You could do it right now. You don't have to wait on me. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. Right now. Point number four, and we're getting ready to move to the next fill-in here. And we're going to read verses 20 through 22 and wrap this up here. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So this next fill-in coming up. The apostles and prophets had authoritatively spoke, taught, and written the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Christ, the cornerstone, set the foundation and squared the building. Not man. Not man. And every believer is a treasured, chosen stone in Christ's temple. 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 says, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wow. And verse 21 shows us that, and next fill in here, shows us that the body of Christ must be joined together to grow into the Lord's holy temple. We got to be joined together for this to happen. This is why believers encourage other believers to gather and come and join a local church, right? Matter of fact, let's go and read that. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews. I just don't want to leave you with this. This is why we encourage other believers that's not coming to a local assembly to come. We need you, right? We need you. That gift that you have, we need you to come and use that gift to help build up the body. Let's look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And it says, and let us consider. And let us consider. Let's think about this, right? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That's why we need you. Let's come and stir each other up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. It's some that's neglecting the habit of meeting, right? But encouraging one another. Why do we do this? Why? And all the more as you see the day, capitalized day, drawing near. The day drawing near. Wow. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Ephesians here and read verse 22 over again. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Let's hone in on the words dwelling place. The word dwelling place really means a permanent home. A permanent home. John MacArthur said, God, the Holy Spirit, takes up permanent residence in his earthly sanctuary. Wow. That's the church. This means all the redeemed, all the redeemed. Jesus is still building his church, and only he knows when the building is complete. How do we know this? Paul gave us some insight when he wrote the letter to the Christian church in Rome. Romans 11:25 says, "Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until what? The fullness of the Gentiles have come in." Wow, that's amazing. Our application here is clean, short, simple. Live as our master peacemaker by sharing the gospel. If you are still out, you can be in. Today is the day of salvation. If you are separated without hope and without God, today you can be integrated. If you are a foreigner, you can be a part of God's forever family. You can do this by placing your faith in God and your trust in Jesus Christ. What does this mean? To some that's asking, I'm so glad you asked. Just believe who Jesus is. Jesus came in the flesh. He's God manifested in the flesh. What did Jesus do? He came and died. Died for what? Your sin. All of our sin. That's what he came to do. And he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again on the third day, which actually gives us hope that we will rise again. Amen. Amen. This faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ is what truly saves. This kind of faith. 1 John 5:1 says, everyone who believes in that Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, they are what? Born of God. Born of God. You believe in him? Born of God. Do you believe? Now allow me to turn our attention to our brothers and sisters that are struggling with their eternal security, because there are some that still struggle with this eternal security. I would say, please go back and read and hear at least these verses, verses 20 through 22, because I do believe when you even look at it, and we looked at even in verse 22 alone, it speaks volumes of eternal security, because it talked about this dwelling place, permanent residence, right? Permanent residence. I find until I really was studying this, I really missed that at some point. I'm like, wow, this verse actually speaks of eternal security. Wow, that's amazing. The Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in his earthly sanctuary, the church. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the fresh reminder that we Gentiles were out, now we're in. We were separated from you. We were without hope and without God in the world, but now we're integrated. We were foreigners, strangers in the land. But now we're family. And thank you that this blended family all together is your forever family. And Father, help us to live this way in Jesus' name. Amen.